Listener Production. A massive edition of Footy Talk coming your way today. Geordie Allen joins us in studio to give us an insight into her journey to the big time at the Pies. We chat Collingwood season, Steve Simons vacating the coaching position, and preview two massive semi-final clashes coming our way this weekend. That's all coming up on the Footy Talk podcast. G'day guys, and welcome back to Footy Talk, your daily dose of footy with all the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And what an episode we have coming your way. We are, of course, heading into the second week of W Finals. Brisbane and North will have the weekend off after booking their spot in the prelim, but two cracking games coming our way on Saturday and Sunday. But joining us in studio on this fine Thursday, Collingwood superstar Geordie Allen, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Abby.
No, we're pumped to have you in. We will get into some of the big news and previews in the second segment, but we're going to chat about you in this first segment. You're, of course, you know, a young superstar at the Pies. I'm sure you would love to be playing finals this season, but it wasn't to be. How are you post-season? And, how's the body feeling and the mind feeling after season eight?
Body's actually good. It's very good. I had a couple of injuries early on in my career. So to finish the season and be unscathed is a really, really good feeling. Mentally though, I think it took a little while for it to hit the fact that we weren't making finals. Yeah. I think it actually didn't really sink in until I saw the teams playing on the weekend. And I was just sitting there and we're just at a pub with a few of the girls and I was like, oh, this is cool. I love being with my teammates, but I'd much rather us be out on the football field where they are. So genuine envy for all of the teams that got to play on the weekend.
Do you always think as a group, you know, what if? Like, what if we did that differently, or what if that result felt differently? Or
yeah, and particularly in this season, I think that was the case because the games we lost were winnable. And I mean, you know, round 10 against Richmond was just a blowout, but we dropped to the Swans, we dropped to Saints, and like early on in the season, we felt that they were very winnable games as well. We also lost to the to Gold Coast, but it turns out that like three of those teams ended up making finals.
Yeah.
So maybe our perception of those teams and their strength was maybe a little bit misguided. Maybe we just assumed that they would just roll over. You know, Swans were winless last year, so we probably had a little bit of a preconceived notion about how difficult it would be to face them.
Yeah, and let's get into your journey because everybody's got a very unique journey in the way that they hit the AFLW. How did you get into footy? What was it that you loved about it? And I guess who helped you along the journey to eventually reach that AFLW level?
It started in the backyard with my brother. Yeah. And I've got two male cousins, Bailey and Lockie, and I just wanted to be exactly like my brother. So he picked up a footy and I picked up a footy and we raced motocross when we were younger and I only did that because he did it. Like mum tried to get me into horse riding and I had no idea that he was racing motocross at the time and mum unsuccessfully tried to get me on a horse and I'd cracked it and she's like, all right, we'll go past the motorbike track. And I was like, you didn't tell me this is what Jackson was doing all of these years. So swung my leg over a motorbike and then when, you know, the decision was made whether we continue with motocross, it was football in the end that prevailed. So played through my juniors at the Ryde Junior Footy Club. Mm-hmm. Was really fortunate that in my final year with the boys where you have to age out, they actually created a girls team. So I didn't have to move away. And, like, there was girls who were travelling 30 to 40 minutes up the road just to play footy.
Yeah.
And I had it in my backyard. I just played at the local club that I'd always had. And then, yeah, went through all the talent pathways, played with Vic Metro and Vic Country, which is how that happened, I don't know. Yes. It's a long story. But and then with the Stingrays, played all the way through until I got picked up by the Pies at the end of my senior year.
So you were never told that you couldn't play footy? What a dream.
Yeah, I know. And that's how privileged I am. I was probably part of that that pathway of girls who actually got to be in it from the beginning. Yeah. Like I was very lucky at the age that I turned when I did 13 and I could go straight into the Stingrays program and that was the first year of it. So I really was that first wave of players. Like you've got Nina Morrison, Maddie Press-Parkes, Tyler Hanks, players like that who followed the pathway all the way through.
Yeah.
We were the first ones to do so.
Well, you just touched on it, but Dandy Stingrays Youth Academy, Vice Captain Vic Metro, 2016 AFL Youth Girls National Championships. You played on the MCG as a youngster, and then, of course, you know, you've come through the entire pathway, but what is it like, you know, because growing up you would have watched football, no doubt, and only ever seen the men, but to be a part of that wave of athletes, as you just mentioned, you know, you rattled off a few names, but you're part of that first, I guess, brigade that have come through from Auskick really all the way through to the elite level. It must be pretty incredible.
Yeah, and it's nice to sit back and reflect. Like, I do actually get a chance to look back. I go home, back to my childhood home, and I used to have all of my jerseys up in my room. So every single year that I'd make a team, I'd put the jersey up in my room, and they're still up. So it's like a shrine. I walk back into my room, it's like I'm being mourned. But it's actually really nice to walk back and reflect. And, you know, I had some fantastic experiences. I travelled the country as a teenager, yeah, playing the game I loved. And to be able to give that those experiences back to the younger girls is something that, yeah, I really cherish.
Who did you support growing up?
St Kilda. Yeah.
Who did you idolise, players-wise?
I loved Nick Del Santo, and I was flat when he went to North Melbourne. I was really, really flat.
Yeah.
And I actually, for some reason, I remembered Fraser Gehrig when I was really little. Like, he retired when I was, you know, 8 or 9. But I remember loving Jude Bolton, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Just an in and under Jude midfielder. So, yeah, I just remember being obsessed with him.
Oh, we love Bolts. He's a good friend of Footy Talk as well. But what about on the women's footy, I guess, journey? Who are some of the players that before you hit AFLW you might have looked at from the VFLW perspective, or someone that you followed closely, and then in turn, once you were drafted, who's really kind of, I guess, helped your development along the way?
Well, we had some fantastic mentors at the academy. So I had Renee Forth, who was you would have played, yep, with her, premiership, yep, player. Yeah. she was actually a mentor of ours. We were in the houses at the Hogwarts houses at the academy, and she was a leader of Hufflepuff, and I got put in Hufflepuff. So so Forthy was someone who I really looked up to, and I got along really well with her. We had Erin Phillips in the academy. We, yep, had Turbo Bowers. Ahmed Saad came in and was the leader of Slytherin, which checked out. That made a lot of sense. So, like, in terms of those mentors that I had, it was really special to be able to have people who are in the system and learning from them directly. I actually said, because St Kilda obviously didn't have a license, mm-hmm, an AFLW license when I was, 16, 17, I aligned myself with Carlton. So I loved Darcy Vessier. I, yeah, loved Lauren Arnell. Just like, I would remember going to Icon Park and just loving those games. So I'd probably say, and of course Daisy, like, yeah, Daisy was around, and Lauren Arnell was a coach of mine through juniors as well. So really fortunate to have so many fantastic women who are now, I'm now one of those people who I'm sure that the younger girls look up to. So
totally.
I try and give myself back to them, knowing how much of an impact those players had on me.
You went to the first game, didn't you, the lockout?
Yes.
Was that just like a light bulb moment of being like, nah, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do, and this is where I'm going to be.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we were like literally one of the last people that got shoved into Icon Park before they closed the gates. And so we were just in standing room. We found ourselves ironically next to the Collingwood box, mm-hmm, where the interchange bench. And I remember like watching the ball go up, and I was just like looking around the stadium and just like the noise, yeah, and just how passionate everyone was. Like I was just beaming. Like I think I was driving home and like my face was sore from smiling. I went with my best mate, my dad, and we just could not stop talking about, aww, it. And, you know, we'd already got the fixture up. How many games can we get to over the next 6 rounds? It was, yeah, a pretty special thing to be a part of.
Draft day for you. What are your memories of that?
Draft day was possibly one of the biggest days of my life because I also graduated. It was my muck-up day, walk-out day of high school, and I live on the peninsula. So literally went to like our year 12 final assembly that morning. Yeah. I got called out early to leave so that I could get up to Marvel Stadium for the draft.
Aww.
And like dad's pedantic, so we got there an hour early anyway. So the dad was like, I was sitting at the front of the stadium at school, and he was like tapping his watch like, George, we got to go, come on, like we've got places to be. And yeah, I just remember sitting there, and I've never been so nervous. Like my hands were sweaty, and it was just a real unknown. Like you kind of, you've spoken to clubs before the draft, and there's people in the room who you recognise, list managers and coaches and,
yeah,
ex-teammates and stuff like that, and it was kind of like the last moment that all of the people that you'd grown up playing football with, like it was a graduation of a sense in both senses of the word. And my name got called out at pick number 5, and Astro O'Connor, who was the head of the Women's Academy at the time, was just to the right of stage. And there's this beautiful video that I always go back to, and she's not known for giving hugs. She's not the most affectionate person. And she's just wrapped me up in the biggest hug ever. I was bawling my eyes out. I had to go up on stage and hold my jersey, and I was sobbing, and like walked backstage, and all of like Mads Presbakis and Nina Morrison and were already there. So I kind of looked at them and I was like, these are people that I've played my whole junior like pathway with. So that was so special. And then, you know, all of the media and that carry on afterwards was, it felt nice. It was like, wow, this is different. Like I haven't really had this much attention before. And then actually left the draft, had lunch, went back to the club, had the tour, and then went back to my year 12 graduation party where everyone was just absolutely lit. And like I've walked into the Collingwood theme song being played, and best day of my life. What a day.
What a day. Yep. And even with your dad, like how special to share that with him. I'm sure he's been a massive influence on you with your footy as well. But as you said, he's your best mate. How cool was it to just share that moment with him as well?
Well, I've only seen him cry. Oh. So when I got drafted, he cried. And then when I won the Best and Fairest last year, he cried. So, and I get emotional thinking about it. Like he just is the biggest support of my brother and I. And he's always said, like when we're trying to make motocross work and footy work, I remember him just literally sitting us down and saying like, what do you want to do? Like, we'll make it happen. So, so fortunate. And mum as well, like, and Nan. I don't know if there's a bit of Nan going around on the internet at the moment. She was at my 50th game, and so fortunate for the support that I have. I really couldn't have grown up in a better family.
Are they full-blown Collingwood supporters now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Men's as well?
Yes, I think, yes, yeah.
Just say yes, because they won the flag this year, so you've got to be happy with that. debut game.
Yes.
Memories from that.
Yep. Played in Geelong, GMHBA Stadium. Britt Bonici presented me my jumper, which was really special. Yeah. She was one of the first people when I walked into Icon Park as a 13-year-old, and I was trying out for the Vic Metro team. She was quite literally the first person I bumped into. So to get drafted to the club that she played at, someone who I really look up to, it meant a lot for her to present my jersey to me. And then, I had my family in the rooms with me. They got shooed off, and I don't remember much of the actual game. Like, I watched the game back and, you know, I get a touch here and there, and I don't actually remember it, but I vividly remember my first kick, and it was ironically to Britt on the wing. And there was this one moment Geelong have gotten out the back of us, and playing as a defender, I've had to chase, and this is probably the only chase down tackle I've ever done in my career, but it was holding the ball and the whole crowd's going up. And I remember after the game, my cousin said to me, he said, George, it was so funny that the whole crowd has gone up. And then when they've gone quiet, your mum stood up and said, that's my daughter. And the whole crowd's gone up again. So it was, those stories are really nice. I've got some fantastic memories of my first game.
Proud parents. I love that.
Yes.
I love that so much. From your debut game through to 50 games this year in season 8. It's so great, isn't it, to see these milestones being hit. You know, we've had some 75 gamers this year as well, but to know that over the years to come, like we're going to have 100 gamers, we're going to have 150 gamers, 200 gamers. You look at the men's game for what it is today, and that's 150 years of history. So to think that we're 8 seasons in at the AFLW and we're starting to hit these milestones, it must be pretty cool.
I look at people who are like, you're obviously older than me. I look at people who are older than me and I think they're senior in experience, but I've got over 40 games on you. So it's, and that was something I had to get my head around, even within our four walls, that I was the 7th player on our list to make 50 games for the club.
Crazy.
Which is bizarre. So, it's really nice to see that players like Ali Anderson and Ed Marinoff getting to 75 games, because Eb's only 24, 25.
Yeah, it is madness.
So young. So she'll be one of the first people to 150.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the back end of our careers, we start seeing people notch up, you know. We won't get to Scott Pendlebury for a couple of years, but, 200 plus games would be a significant milestone in AFLW, and I can't wait.
I wish the AFLW was around earlier.
Yes.
And then my body would have been able to withstand the pressures. But we need to get to a break. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. If you are listening to Footy Talk on Spotify, you know what to do. Hit the bell. Welcome back. You are listening to Footy Talk and we have Geordie Allen in studio with us today. Geordie, season 8, it has been a cracker. Each and every year, every season, it just gets bigger, better, faster, stronger. The athletes themselves take it to another level. Pies aside, how have you seen, I guess, season 8 roll out?
It's been an exponential growth, hasn't it? So
crazy.
Even from last year, it's been the standard, like I spoke briefly about the Swans before, like you can't just write these teams off anymore. And
yeah.
I think in the past, teams would get away with playing three quarters of footy, but the depth of the competition now, you can't rest on your laurels and, you know, let one quarter slip by because teams are now capitalising on it, which I think speaks to the strength of the competition and it's only going to grow.
Some big news coming out over the last week or so, a couple of head coaches stepping down, Nathan Burke, of course, from the Western Bulldogs, but your coach in Steve Simons. Talk us through how the playing group, I guess, were notified or found out and I guess your opinions on all of this.
Yeah. So Steve let us know that it was a mutual decision between him and the club and he'd be moving on from the football club and, was really devastated to see him go. In my first season, we were wooden spooners and we won one game and the very next season he came in and took us to finals. And bar this season, we'd gone to four consecutive finals campaigns, which I think speaks to his calibre as a coach. But, I think it's time for a new look. It's not so much of a rebuild, but a fresh face, and without understating the impact that he's had on the group and where he's taken us, I do think it's the right decision to get someone else in to hopefully take us that very next level.
Your teammate Ruby Schleicher has spoken on the Tagged podcast about why it was time for Steve Simons to depart the club.
It was time for him and he felt that because he's been away from his family for so long. His family are in South Australia, his wife Trudy and their two kids. And so that's so hard.
I didn't realise he was doing that.
That's crazy. So, like, how difficult's that? And I mean, it's really hard. And obviously you've got the support network of the club. I mean, if I think, like, you know, I'm away from my family and I'm so lucky that I've got the connection of, like, the playing group, they're like
it's
my sisters.
Family.
And I guess, like, as coaches, like, you lean on the club as well, but you probably don't get to lean on it as much as a player does, because a player, you get to complete, you've got 30 sisters that you can be your complete selves around, and you can be away from the workplace in that as well. You know, it's like a sisterhood that you're not just teammates, you're best friends
100%.
Away from football. And it'd be hard to have that as a coach as well. So it was, you know, we were his support network, but we were also his work. So you can imagine how hard that would have been.
She said it beautifully, didn't it? It's quite remarkable, the situation that Steve has been in with his family back home in South Australia and him, you know, wholeheartedly committed to the Collingwood Footy Club. Yeah, it is quite remarkable, isn't it?
It is. And I think of, like, even as in my role as an athlete, like, I still need life balance, but he is purely over here with the role of being a head coach. He doesn't go home to his family. Like, and like, as for social networks, he's probably only got the people that he's met at the football club. So, I just really commend him for the life balance that he had to try and find. I think it was due time that he went back and spent some time with his family.
Well, no doubt the club is working hard behind the scenes to see who his successor might be. Are there any little murmurs of anybody that might be stepping into that role?
I have absolutely no idea. I speak to you truthfully. I have not heard a single whisper.
Okay. Watch this space, hey.
Watch this space.
Hey, let's preview a couple of massive games coming our way this weekend. The first one, Adelaide taking on the Sydney Swans at Norwood Oval. Sydney were bloody impressive against the Suns on Saturday night, but Adelaide at home is always a tough task.
Yes, and especially Norwood Oval, the dimensions of it. It's
no
so
wings.
Skinny. It's a running track. That's the shape of it. So, Adelaide do play it very well. So, but I think of all teams that are probably going to be able to take it to them there, obviously other than Brisbane, who did get the win there last weekend. It's probably the Swans. They like to use the corridor. So it's the fact that there's no boundary probably isn't going to affect them that much. So I'm expecting an absolute ripper contest. As we know, the Swans have exceeded expectations by far. And I think a strength of that playing group is that they don't go into any game complacent, because they're the underdogs, and that's a really powerful position to be in.
Another strength of their playing group is Chloe Malloy, somebody that you know very well.
Yes.
Obviously played alongside at Collingwood. It's been unbelievable to watch her pick up her life, move to New South Wales, slot straight into this Sydney Swans environment. Co-captain, of course, with McAvoy. Whilst you would love to be playing with her, you must be pretty proud of what she's been able to do with the move north.
Yeah, she looks reinvigorated, and obviously I was privy to the struggles that she had with her body at the back end of her tenure with the Pies, and her back was giving her grief, and I think that probably contributed to her decision to look elsewhere. And just to see it pay off for her, I'm so proud of her, and to I'm envious. I was watching her at the pub on the weekend, and I was like, oh, can we just trade spots? Like, I'd love to be playing football right now, but can't underestimate how tough it must be. She's a family woman, so moving away from her family and picking everything up and starting anew in Sydney, the big smoke. So good on her. Proud of her and her leadership. And from what I've heard, her leadership has grown in leaps and bounds. So the fact that she's been able to go over there and have such a significant impact on the playing group and work so closely with Scotty Gowans, who she's worked with in the past, they're building something special at Sydney.
The Swans will be without Bec Privatelli, unfortunately. She's been ruled out after scans revealed a Lisfranc injury. That's a big out. McAvoy went forward, though, a few times and kicked a few snags, which is good. But from Adelaide's perspective, they've always been competitive. They've always been up there. What is it that makes that group so good?
The Adelaide group, what makes them so good?
Yeah.
They are just so well-rounded. Mm-hmm. And I think, you just look at the program that they've got. They've got people in their program who are playing to their strengths. And, like, you've got Danielle Ponta, who can play here, there and everywhere, and you put her in the middle and she kicks a goal from the centre at Icon Park. Like, she's just an absolute enigma. So I think it's the fact that they are such a system-based team, which holds them in such good stead when they come up against different teams week in, week out, and they are so clear on their process. And I think they are probably the most disciplined team, and probably Brisbane's close behind, hence why they've been up there, both teams, for so long. So I think it's the process that also reflects the strengths of players. You've got Chelsea Randall down the back line, who's the most versatile player in the competition. Yep. So they've got strengths all over the ground.
Well, that is the first semi. Crows taking on the Swans, Norwood Oval, 7:15pm local time, 7:45 Eastern time. Let's move on to the second semi. Melbourne versus Geelong at Icon Park, 3:05. Bounce on Sunday. Were you surprised with what happened on the weekend with North Melbourne's 41-point win against Melbourne?
Yes. Yeah,
I was.
Yeah,
I was at the game working it, and halftime came around, and they were in a bloody good position, no doubt about it. But my question was them being able to maintain that across four quarters, and they did it.
Yes.
They were incredible.
That was a question I had of the North Melbourne group as well. And, in other areas, I've been a little bit critical of the North Melbourne team. I wasn't sure whether they had the resilience or the composure to work their way through when teams challenged them. But they came out and they were so hungry from the get-go. Mm. They looked like they wanted it so much more than Melbourne did. And the fact that they were able to maintain that for four quarters, I think, yes, they're front runners. I think if they get a sniff early, they're very dangerous. So I reckon it might have been a different story if Melbourne was able to kind of weather the tide for a little bit and maybe just get a score early.
Yeah.
And obviously that would bring Melbourne into the game as well. But, they are so potent when they get things right at North.
Have Brisbane and North Melbourne, though, now shown the blueprint of how to beat Melbourne? Because it's that pressure around the ball, isn't it? When they can't get that quick handball game going, that's when sides have been able to get on top.
Yeah, and it's hard to think that Melbourne's midfield would be being handed to, especially when you've got Paxi and so Hanksy, and you've got all of those really elite midfielders in there. But I reckon that they're a resilient group. I do think Melbourne will get back together and you know, that they're under great leadership over there under Mick Stanier. So I have no doubt that they will. The pieces, I saw a comment and it said, we haven't seen the Melbourne team since halftime of the Brisbane game. And I tend to agree. So I'm not sure whether that'll carry on to this game. So, and that, yeah, the Cats are looking mighty fine as well.
Who are you expecting to win these games? Give us your tips. And then we're just going to ask you as well your tip for the grand final of season eight.
Even though I've just pumped up Melbourne, I'm on the Cats bandwagon. I would love to see the Cats get over them. An upset, a different face in finals.
Yeah.
They got their first finals win last week, and I'd love to see them keep the momentum going. I do think Adelaide are going to win, although Swans are going to give them a really good run.
Yep. Grand final prediction?
Grand final. So who does that put there? I reckon Brisbane are going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Brisbane Cats because I said I'm going to be on the Brisbane bandwagon.
That would be great.
Brisbane Cats, and I reckon Brizzy will get it done.
Love that from you.
Much to my dismay, but I think they've been the best team this year and I think they want it more than anyone else.
Oh, watch this space. I cannot wait. Still three quality weeks of AFLW Season 8 action coming our way. But Geordie Allen, thank you so much. I feel like I could sit here and talk to you for hours, but unfortunately we've got to wrap it up.
That's all right. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Maybe another time.
But yeah, if you have a question for us, hit us up on Instagram at footytalk_pod or TikTok at footytalkpod. If you're listening on Apple, be sure to leave us a review. We will speak to you next time. Listener.